Well, as you can tell, our responsorial psalm for the third Sunday of Advent is actually not a psalm at all, but the Magnificat of Mary when she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. This Magnificat is so important to the church that she has her priests recite it every evening. Why? Why is this so important for a disciple? One word. Anawin. This is how Mary refers to herself in her Magnificat, as Anawin. It means the least, the lowly. Anawin. Before Mary was Our Lady of Guadalupe, or Our Lady of Fatima, or Our Lady of Lourdes, or even Queen of Heaven, Mary was Anawin. There is something essential to a disciple that includes being Anawin, least, lowly. Why? St. Paul will put it this way. In my weakness, God's strength is shown. St. John the Baptist will put it this way. I must decrease so Jesus can increase. Others, Peter, Teresa of the Little Flower, Francis, Mother Teresa, etc. They will all in their own way discover that in my weakness God's strength is shown. And I must decrease so Jesus can increase. For this is the task of an intentional disciple. We all come into this world as Anawin, and then we are invested with power by birth, genetics, providence, even dumb luck. What we then do with the power and influence we are entrusted with through life becomes our discipleship. It becomes our offering to God. Especially what we do to and for the Anawin we encounter in our life. The lowly. The least. Then, when that day comes that we are again Anawin, we entrust ourselves to God the Father, just as did Jesus his Son. Naked we come into the world, and naked we will leave it. Soon we will be celebrating our God who comes to us as Anawin. My Christmas card this year, this one, it provides all the great names we have for this God. They're all over the front of the card. It's what caught my attention. Anointed, Everlasting, Emmanuel, the Light, Christ, the Truth, Redeemer, Lord, Lamb of God, Almighty, Prince of Peace, Holy One, Jesus. All these powerful names surround this image of a little tiny baby peacefully sleeping on some hay. I love the contrast, the power of the names, and the vulnerable little baby asleep on hay. Our God comes to us as Anawan, and using His power to serve others, even giving the example of this service in the washing of feet, He will die as Anawan. But we know His story does not end there. His story does not end there. We will celebrate what happens to the Anawan who entrust themselves to God. For as Mary says, they are lifted up. They are filled with good things. They are remembered in mercy. They are resurrected. Tonight, right in the middle of our Advent, we find ourselves in the midst of our discipleship journey, walking not by sight, but by the light of God's promise. Entrusted with the light of Christ, we, like Mary, do not fear our weakness, but celebrate the strength of God that can shine through it. If only we will submit to His will. Like Mary, we seek to decrease so as to have Jesus increase in his kingdom come through us and our actions of justice, mercy, and foot washing service to others. Then perhaps we will hear, as did Mary that day she visited her cousin Elizabeth, "We who walk by faith and not by sight, blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled."
We are meditating Mary's Magnificat this evening. In her Magnificat, we heard Mary proclaiming that the Almighty has done great things for me. Mary reflects about her life and praises God at the great things that the Lord has done in her life. Like Mary, are you able to say that the Lord has done great things in your life? Have you spent enough time to reflect about your life, the great things the Lord has done in your life? If we haven't had that opportunity, maybe this Advent may be a good time to reflect the great things that the Lord has done in our lives. A couple of years ago, I hurt my left knee while playing badminton. It was so painful. and I injured cartilage of the left knee. Then I had to take a couple of weeks rest, and during that time I was very careful moving and twisting my knee because it was really hurting. As I was recuperating, the doctor asked me to refrain from all kinds of contact sports for life, which I did not like it, because I enjoyed sports all my life, and it was my big hobby. I like basketball, tennis, table tennis, and I also like hiking on the mountain because New Zealand has got a lot of beautiful mountains where you can do a lot of hiking there. So I quite enjoy my sports and hiking, all those things. When the doctor told me that to refrain from all kinds of contact sports, I thought it was a kind of end of my fun time in my life. Because in all my life, as I said, all my life I played sports. In my childhood, after school, I played soccer in my neighborhood. We didn't have a soccer field at all, but we played, the children from the neighborhood would come together and we would play on our village road, would play their soccer. Because those days there weren't many traffic those days, so if we were easily played there. And in the seminary, the sports was compulsory because after school, you had an hour every day that you had to spend in time in sports, because that was kind of exercise, and it was compulsory that you had to play every day. Otherwise, you need to have a special permission if you don't want to play. So, and then when I was working in New Zealand, I learned tennis because the president of the tennis club was my parishioner. And he taught me how to play tennis, and I quite liked it. He said he was happy to teach me because he learned it from a priest, and he said he is now teaching another priest. So he was, and I learned it very quickly, tennis. Well, now my knee is hurting, and the doctor said, don't play anymore the contact sport. And I was really disappointed. Then a thought came to my mind during those days. I was able to play all these things, all these sports in my life, but I wasn't appreciative enough. Or I should have been much more happier when I was able to play all these sports. Because only when you lose something, when you lose your something or your abilities in your life, that is the time you really understand the value of it. I wasn't counting as a blessing that one. So, we have been blessed with the many gifts in our life, or many blessings. Sometimes we are not aware of this, sometimes we are not thinking of it much. We take it for granted. If you ask a blind man, about his greatest ambition in his life, he or she may say that the greatest thing that they wanted to be able to achieve in their life is to be able to see things and enjoy the beauty of the nature and all the wonderful things that we can see in this world. If you ask a deaf person, he or she would say that they would like to hear things, the beautiful, the melodies, the singing birds, and all those kind of things. And if you ask an invalid person or a person who is on a wheelchair, can't walk, most probably a person would say the person need the ability to walk on his own feet. So, but we can do all these things. We can see things, we can hear things, and we can walk, or all other abilities. But we don't very often count it as a blessing. We don't count it as a blessing. So, and we may not be particularly joyful with that. though we are able to do these things, we are not, may not be particularly joyful. We don't see in that way. We may take it for granted. I helped a young couple in my parish, previous parish, in their grieving process when they lost their 20 weeks old baby in the womb. Because they were migrants from another country, and then they didn't have any family there. So I took a special care for this couple. And then they lost babies three times, one after another and another. So it was a very hard time for them in their life. And they desperately wanting a child. And what they did, they resigned their job, and they went back to their homeland to get for a better treatment, better care of the doctor. And then eventually they had a son. Now they have a son. So they're happy now. So one time they took a lot of resigning their jobs, and what was the most important thing in their life was to have a child. So now they count as a blessing. To have a child is a blessing. Whereas other parents, they may not count their children as a blessing. That, as I said earlier, we may take it for granted, a lot of things that we enjoy in our life. We know people in the poor countries may be longing for at least one meal a day to satisfy their hunger or their children's hunger. So there may be people desperately looking for clean water. And there are people who in the poor countries not able even to imagine a house of their own. And people, we know people in the Middle East, they are longing for peace. We have all these things in our life. We live in a peaceful situation. We have a house, we have food, we have clean water, everything what we need in our life, we have got all these things. Only thing, are we counting as a blessing? And are we thanking God enough for this? More importantly, we have a lot of spiritual gifts, blessings that we enjoy. As Advent season, we reflect the coming of Christ. God the Father sent His Son, Jesus, and He to save us, and He died on a cross and brought us salvation. He sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to sanctify us. And through the baptism, God has adopted us His children. And Jesus gave us the Eucharist to nourish His body and blood, to nourish and strengthen us. And He gave us, through the sacrament of confession, God forgives our sins. And there are many other spiritual blessings that we enjoy is available to us. So let us humbly acknowledge all the blessings that we enjoy in our life. Let us, like Mary, let us say, the Almighty has done great things in my life. And she was constantly aware of God's blessings and was humbly acknowledging those blessings in her life. Mary is overjoyed because it is through her son God is saving the whole world. For centuries, Israelites, people were waiting for their Savior, and many died even without seeing their Savior. Mary says the Lord has extolled her lowliness, and God will extol all those who fear the Lord and the humble of the heart. The word of God says, humble yourself that the Lord may do great things in your life. So let us, like Mary, let us reflect the great things the Lord has done in our life during the season of Advent. And let us praise Him, like Mary, for all the abundant blessings that God has given in our life.
How brilliant of our Catholic Church in the middle of Advent to put the Canticle of Mary in our response at the Sunday liturgy. How brilliant is that? And tonight, we look at just a few verses of the Gospel of Luke. We call that looking at it a pericope, like a periscope. You focus in on just a few verses. But what's really important in preaching and looking at the Gospel is to take a glance at exactly what happened prior to what you're focusing on. Before the Canticle, Gabriel came to Mary and claimed, "The Lord is with you. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The child will be holy, the Son of God." And then when she goes to Elizabeth, who's also conceived, and we know that when Mary approached, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth said to her, "How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth goes on to say, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." That is a lot of things happening prior to the Canticle, isn't it? And as I prayed about these words from the Magnificat, what kept coming to mind was how Mary was proclaiming God's mercy. In the Canticle, it says, "God's mercy is from age to age. God lifts up the lowly. The hungry God fills with good things. God has helped Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy." So tonight we think about Mary, with the infant in her womb, is proclaiming the greatness of God before God even enters the world in the flesh. Mary is proclaiming what this Son of God inside of her will do for the world. Show mercy. She is proclaiming that. Mary, who said yes, is proclaiming the future works of the Son that she will deliver. Mary, this young mother-to-be, who Elizabeth names the mother of my Lord, is also naming who God has been and what this Son of God will deliver. Mary, a true and intentional disciple, tells the world of her Son's mercy for the world while her Son is still in her womb. What a beautiful thought. And how that applies to our world today is the story of Melina. And Melina shared this story with me and gave me permission to say wherever I go in ministry to share her story. I met Melina in the fall of 2012. At that time, I was the coordinator of the pro-life office for the Archdiocese, and one of the many ministries I loved doing at that time was being pastoral and hosting and helping host retreats for women who had experienced an abortion. But this retreat in particular was different. The women who came to this retreat had already experienced one retreat, and they were looking for more. They were looking for more healing, for more care. So they came from all over neighboring states. And Melina flew in from a state in the Midwest. And I picked her up at the airport and drove her to Whitesville, Kentucky, to the retreat center where this retreat would be hosted. And in the 4 days on this retreat, we got to know each other, Melina and I. And she shared her story. In the state she lived, the death penalty was... They had the death penalty. And she wondered about that and thought, just didn't seem right. And she thought, does life really matter? She had a grandfather who needed surgery. And the insurance company was going back and forth if they were going to help pay for, you know, that surgery. And she thought, does the insurance company not think my grandfather's life matters? And while she wasn't anti-war, she had a brother who was in Afghanistan. And while he was there, she was worried about him, and she thought, in the scheme of things, do people really think his life matters? So as a teenager, she found herself in an untimely pregnancy. And she thought, all around her, it didn't seem life matters. So she had an abortion, and she was devastated. And she knew she needed to reach out somewhere in the world, beyond herself, to get healing, to help her. So she started looking at a variety of religions, a variety of Christian faiths, and then she found the Catholic faith. And she told me she found her femininity in the Catholic Church. I said, tell me more. And she said, I realized the sisters and the nuns and the religious and what a place they hold in the Catholic Church. How wonderful is that? And she said, did you know your popes actually gave women the title of doctor of the church? And I said, yeah, I kind of heard that. And she said, and then Mary, my goodness, the way you all hold Mary in esteem, the rosary, the statues, the way you all, I'm still learning, but more and more about Mary and how important she is in the Catholic world. She said, I found my femininity in the Catholic Church. But it didn't stop there. It went on because through Mary, she found forgiveness from Jesus Christ. On that retreat, the day before the last day, the day before the last day, we had some free time. So I took a walk on these beautiful grounds, and I ended up at the Stations of the Cross, but I was going in backwards. So I was starting at the last station and making my way. It's an unusual way to pray the Stations of the Cross. And I got to the eighth station, and the eighth station is Jesus Meets the Women. And I just stood there, and it meant so much to me, and I just kept looking at that Station of the Cross and praying about these beautiful women who were on this retreat, and Jesus meeting them on this important retreat in their life. And I must have been standing there for a while just in prayer looking at it, and I heard a voice say, Sharon, what are you doing? I said, it was Melina. I said, come here, look at this. Out of all the Stations of the Cross, so many things that were happening in Jesus Christ, somebody had the vision to put a station that says, Jesus meets the women. So we stood there and talked about that for a few minutes. Then that night we had Eucharistic adoration throughout the night. So we, as Catholics, we signed up for our hour of adoration. I had the 3 a.m. shift. So I set my alarm and went in the chapel at 3 o'clock in the morning, and Melina was in there. She was kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, so I knelt in the back of the church. And as time went on, I started hearing her crying a little bit. And she was crying, and her crying kind of escalated. And then she was just really crying. So I walked up to the front of the church and just sat by her and put my arm around her. And she just fell into my arms. Just fell into my arms, sobbing. And I held her. And I held her for, I don't know how long, nothing was said. And she just sobbed and cried. And after a while, she finished. She composed herself. She knelt down. I went to the back of the church, finished my hour of adoration. I left, and she was still there. So the last day of the retreat, in the afternoon, we were packing up our cars, putting our suitcases in the trunk, and she turned to me and she said, thank you for last night. I don't even know what I said. What do you say? I said, glad I was there. I don't even remember what I said. She said, no. Last night, Jesus held me in his arms and forgave me. The beauty of this Catholic Church, the miracles, the amazing moments we can experience when we believe all the Catholic Church has. What happened that night is God poured his loving grace on a young lady who came to a church because of Mary, but found forgiveness in Jesus Christ that night. Brothers and sisters, as intentional disciples, go out into that world. Take this beautiful faith that we believe in and share it with the world. We know amazing things can happen when we believe. In the canticle, Mary begins with, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." This Christmas and Advent season, you intentional disciples, go out in the world and let your soul proclaim the greatness of the Lord.